guys. Welcome back to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on ESPN Denver 1600. I am not Terry Wickstrom, though. That was deceiving. I'm Chad LaChance. I'm filling in for Mr. Wickstrom. He's away and traveling, and I always appreciate the opportunity to do that. I believe I was the first guest host that ever did this show like 12 or 14 years ago, and it's always a pleasure to get to step in when Terry's traveling. He is, don't worry, guys, Terry's not working too hard. He's away and fishing and having a good time in Minnesota with friends and family back there and having them a great time. But with that, we're going to go back to the phones because it's another Colorado Parks and Wildlife segment, and this time we're joined by a land protection specialist, a real estate person for Colorado Parks and Wildlife, Miss Amanda Nims. And Amanda runs a program that or works with a program that I think is more important for Colorado sportsmen than maybe they even realize, and many people haven't even heard of it. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, Chad. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great, and I appreciate you taking time out of your day to call.
Thank you.
I believe a lot of folks probably aren't familiar with Colorado Wildlife Habitat Program. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a quick rundown of what that is before we get to the nuts and bolts of it?
You bet. Thank you. It's an annual funding program available to landowners, private landowners, or municipal county open space programs that provides the landowner opportunities to protect their wildlife habitat and or permit the public onto their land for public access, hunting, fishing, wildlife viewing, that kind of thing.
So it could be either enhancing their own property so that it has a higher carrying capacity for native wildlife, or it could be maybe negotiating an easement across somebody's property. Is there any case where Colorado Parks and Wildlife will actually buy, fee simple, actually buy property from landowners?
That's a great question. So the program funds three types of real estate transactions: conservation easements, which basically restricts the development of a property in favor of what's important about it, like a wildlife habitat program; public access easements, which is an agreement between the landowner and CPW to provide public access; and then, like you mentioned, fee simple acquisition, which is when CPW will purchase the property outright from the landowner.
And all of those have different uses, but they're all valuable to Colorado Wildlife. And I'm of the opinion that any habitat conservation is better than none. And any habitat conservation, later in the show, I'm going to be talking to folks from Pheasants Forever. And mm-hmm. the whole point is, hey, we conserve habitat for pheasants, but it's good for all the other animals as well. And wouldn't you agree with that with when it comes to any of these land-based easements or conservation easements?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And the program was created in 2006 with the establishment of our habitat stamp legislation. And the last 15 years, the program has protected almost 300,000 acres of wildlife habitat and provided public access on another 125,000 acres. So it's a robust and pretty successful program, thanks to our sportsmen and women in the habitat stamp dollars, as well as our other funding partners who put money into the program. And that includes Great Outdoors Colorado, GOCO, and our wildlife cash, so some of the revenue generated from hunting and fishing licenses, and rarely, but sometimes, not in a long time, our federal funding partners. But gotcha. Really, it's a habitat stamp program.
Gotcha. And GOCO, for folks that aren't familiar, that's the lottery. If you play the lottery, that's Great Outdoors Colorado money that goes back on the ground in a bunch of different situations as well, both at the CPW level as well as municipalities and things like that. Now, so let's say Colorado Parks Wildlife does purchase this property. I know there's a lot, something like 350 Colorado State Wildlife Areas. If they purchase a piece of property from a landowner, is that commonly what will happen with it?
Most often it will be turned into a state wildlife area. That's correct. The program also is what originated our most recent acquisition for the Fisher's Peak State Park, although that's a separate program if people are interested in selling their property to become a new state park. But this program really is about new state wildlife areas and state habitat areas, which is when the habitat is protected, but it doesn't mean public access is available. So landowners they're not required to provide public access. Okay. If they just want to protect the wildlife habitat.
Well, right. And as we discussed, that almost provides a safe haven for wildlife when you do that
exactly.
At that time, which is also important. Now, you've got a big application coming up because there's a lot of landowners. Colorado's 32% roughly privately mm-hmm. owned, almost 70% public. If I'm a landowner and I've got a nice piece of riparian habitat, or I own a mountain mm-hmm. ranch, or I have a farm out east and I want to get mm-hmm. involved with this, there's a possibility coming up here pretty quick that is going to help people get their land enrolled. Why don't you give us a rundown on that?
You bet. So the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Commission just last week at their September meeting in Meeker restarted the program officially. So we've got an RFP coming out next week. It'll be available on CPW's website starting Thursday morning, September 16th. Applicants have about 6 weeks to pull together an application that will be due on Thursday, October 28th, so at the end of October. And it's a bit of a while to get all the proposals processed, but they'll hear about where their proposal stands with an update in March, and then final decisions are made in May, with negotiations beginning in June of next year.
So the RFP is request for proposals. You're asking landowners to use if folks go to the Colorado Parks Wildlife website and you can Google the Colorado Wildlife Habitat Program, it'll pop right up.
Yep.
There's sample language that they need to put in their proposal. Is there someone they can talk to ahead of time to see if their property's in the ballpark?
Yes, I highly recommend that they reach out to their local CPW staff, their area wildlife manager, if they have relationships with their district wildlife managers or their local biologists. That will really help them, as well as contacting me. It's kind of a cumbersome proposal, and so I can help with the details of the budget form and things like that. So reaching out to local CPW staff is a great first start.
And I know from personal experience that particularly district wildlife managers are in close contact with a lot of the large landowners in their specific areas. And they're usually one of the first resources I go to for a lot of things. People call them game wardens, but in my opinion, they're information officers more than anything else. And they're there to force the rules too, but they're very much a wealth of knowledge of various landowners, and I've used them for resource forever. Now, let's say do I have to have a 50,000 acre ranch to get involved with this, or can I have a small ranchette, a 40 acre rural property? Where's my baseline to start?
That's a good question. And before I answer that, I just want to also, before I forget, mention that it's an $11 million budget this year. So sounds like a lot of money. It's not when we look at all of Colorado and the real estate market that is today, but it helps a lot. And any landowner can apply, whether their property is small, whether their property is large. One of the funding priorities is for landscape scale properties, but we have protected properties as small as a couple hundred acres. We have purchased a property that was 3 acres to help public access on a state wildlife area. So it really depends about the resource and what's being offered rather than the size. It's basically what the impact to conservation it will provide.
Gotcha. And that access you mentioned is critical. And people don't realize how much that is. But in this day and age when everybody's carrying around a digital map and they know who owns what and everything else, everyone's looking for access. Those access easements are so important because we have large tracts of public property that you can't easily get to, or state wildlife areas that you got to walk 3 miles across to get the other side of, as opposed to a guy that puts an acre of property in and lets you cross it. So let's say I am a landowner and I do put my ranch in there. Do I have to allow unfettered access for the whole year, or can I say, okay, only during established big game seasons, or maybe
That's an excellent question.
Is that an option for me?
So the public access component is negotiable. It certainly does not require unfettered access. It's not a parks program. So it really depends on what the landowner is comfortable with, what CPW is willing to manage and work with the landowner on. It could be, just for vets. It could be perpetual unlimited access. Generally, there is a better payment for unrestricted access. So it really depends on what the species are, what seasons they're interested in sharing, and what CPW is willing to work with them on. So it all depends. It's all negotiable.
Well, I love the sound of that, because no two pieces of property are the same. The benefits of those two pieces of property to the public are not the same. I've sat on various other boards here in the state of Colorado for both the county level and state level, and people don't realize how important a half an acre could be in a certain situation, or 50,000 acres in another situation for migration corridors. Now, are migration corridors, relatively quickly, are migration corridors part of this situation too?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the Habitat Stamp legislation dictates what the funding priorities are, and they include acquiring public access, but also big game winter range and migration corridors. And this year we also see funding priorities for, like you mentioned, riparian areas, wetlands, and parcels that provide connectivity to other conserved parcels, because it's all about that habitat connectivity.
Well, I can tell you that as an outdoorsman in Colorado, this program is more important than people realize. And it might not get all the headlines and all that that some other things get, but it's a very important program. We're very lucky to have it. We appreciate your efforts on that. And I would also like to throw out there as an outdoorsman that the vast majority of this funding comes from other outdoorsmen. Yeah, there's some GOCO money, but the majority of it's from license sales and habitat stamps. Anybody can purchase a habitat stamp if they would like as well, whether they hunt or fish. Is an important thing to keep in mind as well. But that's basically sportsmen paying our way once again, and we're the original conservationists, and I think it shows with programs like this.
Yes, thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about it.
And hopefully folks will go to Colorado Parks and Wildlife's website. Like I said, you can Google Colorado Wildlife Habitat Program, look it up more. And if you're a landowner, consider it. September 16th is your ability to apply. October 28th is the deadline, and I'm quite certain Mrs. Nims will help you out, correct?
You betcha. Anytime. I would love to.
All right. There you go, guys. And that's Amanda Nims. We appreciate her taking the time to call in from Colorado Parks and Wildlife. More importantly, all of her efforts to protect access for Colorado sportsmen. With that, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on ESPN Denver 1600.